made for everybody, and I'm not convinced that if we have good attorneys that it needs to be done. That's just where I am on the issue, Jim.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hendrickson.
Senator Comer so articulately and ably argued one point. Maybe I can try to argue the other point, maybe not as eloquently, but I support independent counsel because I think you can differentiate this type of independent counsel from those requests of other agencies that might just want to avoid paying a fee to the Attorney General or for some other reason want to have their own counsel. I feel that the work of the Ethics Commission when it's dealing with public officials is a very sensitive type in terms of it should not have any, even the appearance of a partisan approach to it, because the timing of investigations, even the undertaking of investigations can have political ramifications. If you decide to undertake an investigation 3 weeks before election and you're not going to complete it until after the election occurs, or if you're going to decide whether or not even to investigate, I think that those should not even have the appearance that there could be any partisan considerations. I think that inherently the Attorney General, and I'm not speaking about this Attorney General or could be any other Attorney General, whether they're Democrat or Republican, are an elected official, and I think that I think the integrity of the process and the appearance of the public would simply be better served if the Ethics Commission had an independent counsel that was not an elected official.
Senator Cohen.
One more response, I guess, is that we're not, by giving them independent counsel, you're not taking the AG out of the process. He can still decide to investigate somebody 3 weeks before an election. And I guess that what I'm concerned about is that the...
Criminally, you mean?
Yes, or he can investigate under the guise of maybe there's some criminality involved and bring that around. I think the Ethics Commission themselves, if they're not in control of their lawyer to demand what to say, that they're, you know, we've got a commission who is supposed to make a decision of whether to investigate or not investigate. And I think that I have some faith and would want to boost up the authority, and that's why I want to strengthen the commission so that they're in charge of both the attorney who works for them and the executive director and whomever else. It's up to them to make some decisions, and hopefully they're non-political.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hendrickson.
They are, as far as I know, lay people, and they are going to rely on advice of attorneys, which with respect to legal advice. And so they are, you know, they're not perhaps as, because they're not, just by the nature of that, they're going to have to rely on their attorney in terms of, to some degree, how they make certain decisions. And
is Greg McMurdo a lawyer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. I've heard so much about how bad it is for agencies to have lawyers. I guess they just become a political arm, but I've been rather impressed with some of his behavior recently. I'm getting biased all of a sudden.
Who's he?
Deputy Secretary of State. And every once in a while, somebody gets into it with him like anybody else, but it seems to me like, I guess I just had some contact with him. He was very positive around an issue that impressed me about his assistance to the Secretary of State, high-level professionalism, a lack of partisanship. I just jumped into my mind because I happened to meet with him and the Secretary of State. It's really a hard issue for me. I'm very persuaded by the argument that if you have an in-house counsel, they tend to become sort of like our legislative assistants. From time to time we have lawyers as legislative assistants, and they kind of become a political extension of ourselves. But on the other hand, I am concerned about, and I think Common Cause has got some valid concerns about, the Attorney General is a large, very powerful area in the government. Just for a little historical perspective, Senator Frye, the Ethics Commission had in their request that went to through the budgeting process money for a lawyer, and that was taken out by Budget Bob, like many budget requests are. So they are officially neutral on this subject. They can't go down Ways and Means, and they're forsworn, or whatever the word is, from going down in Ways and Means and going for it. But the fact that they requested indicates they'd like to have it. Now, we've changed their world a little bit already by giving them the independent fact finder, which was the person that will have be appointed to look into it, the case. If we just gave them a lawyer, they would tend to use them as an investigator as well. But the independent fact finder would do that. Senator Gardner.
I think it's an important principle to preserve with as few deviations as possible that we do have a unified system of delivering legal services to state agencies. That there is a single individual who is in charge of that provision of that legal those legal services. Now, I wouldn't oppose an amendment that would say that in the event the Attorney General is implicated in an investigation, then independent counsel shall be retained. I think that
that would be required by the professional code of conduct.
But I'm not sure it would always occur.
Well, a lot of times they do. They do take both sides. Yeah.
So I think that would be salutary.
That would be such an inherent conflict that I don't see any Attorney General.
Yeah, I don't think you need to put that in.
There was one problem that somebody pointed out to me in the last couple of days, that when all this stuff came up in 79, the Attorney General's office had an investigator who I think was an attorney. Anyway, interviewed, I think they made the public statement they're going to interview every member of the legislature who was here in 79, who was here in 70.
And they did. They did interview everybody in 81 from the Attorney General's office.
They were going to interview everybody that was here during the time of this whole thing, and Dave Frohmeyer was a legislator at that time. And somebody asked me, who interviewed Dave Frohmeyer?
Yeah.
Somebody did. They went and got an outside lawyer, or did they have, or investigator, or did they have somebody who was an employee of the Attorney General's Department? Because there were allegations made against... I should have asked David.
Sure, I didn't think of Senator Brown.
Mr. Chairman, the literature, the legal literature on conflict of interest points out that we try to avoid not only the fact of conflict, but the appearance of conflict. And whether the Attorney General belongs to the party of the public official who is under investigation, or whether the Attorney General belongs to the opposite party, there are those members of the public who I think very rightfully are going to look at the process and feel that there is an appearance of potential conflict, regardless of how independent and courageous and competent the deputy AG who's assigned the case may be. So I concede that what Senator Cohen says, that in 98% of the cases, 99.9% of the cases, counsel from the AG's office, even if there were some poor appearance, would in fact be professionally responsible to the public. There is this potential appearance of conflict, and I think it's in the interest of the public's confidence in the process that we make the staffing of the legal arm of the office is as independent as possible. My days in the Navy involved constantly for 20 years the problems of what we called command influence, where the lawyer would be called in by the four striper who wrote his fitness reports, and he would say, "I want a legal opinion, and this is what I want to say." And we finally got our own JAG Corps where we could be independent. But even within that context...
Senator Hendrickson now moves that we...
I just wanted to say we also have Watergate, which led all the way up to the Attorney General.
Had to have an independent counsel.
And, you know, that I think that, you know, people forget very quickly.
Senator Hendrickson now moves the conceptual motion that we make the threshold decision that we will... that the Ethics Commission should have independent counsel, leaving aside the further decision whether that be contracted out or House counsel. It's a conceptual motion. Senator?
On that motion, I would like my vote against that motion not to be construed as condoning Watergate.
Well, we'll all draw our own conclusions.
No.
You were back in Washington in those days.
No, not in those days.
Okay. You were the wrong party anyway. Further discussion.
Is this going to, assuming this eventually passes and everything, does it get integrated into this thing somewhere then? Or?
That would take another motion. This is a motion, not a...
But I mean, eventually it's going to be a part of this bill.
Or it could be a bill that goes forward by itself in Senate Bill 7, where it would fit.
Okay. It might pass.
Further discussion or questions? Have you heard enough from us, Senator?
Yeah, the two most articulate proponents of each viewpoint.
One on each side of you mean, at the moment?
Yeah.
Each other would have to
fight. We're both battling for a soul here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Nicely wanted.
The only question is, which is good and which is evil?
Okay.
I don't want my vote to be recorded or any indicia that I favor one of these ladies over the other.
Right.
Well, that's an independent judgment I'm making.
Only on this issue.
Please call the roll.
Brand.
And the motion again.
The motion is for independent counsel.
Aye.
Brown voted aye.
I'm sorry. Cohen?
No.
Fry?
Aye.
Gardner?
No.
Camby?
No.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Aye. What happens?
4-3.
Motion passes.
Okay.
Do you want to move that it be contracted out, or what's the next motion here?
I'd move the in-house counsel as recommended by the Ethics Commission.
Okay. Senator Hendrickson moves that this counsel be in-house counsel. Discussion.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
The other option is to try and get them a budget. Either way, we're going to have to try and get them a budget.
Yeah.
Try and get them a budget so they can contract out.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator, can I ask
Senator Hendrickson, that means that they could do a part-time in-house counsel, because they're not going to need a lawyer full-time now, because we've given a fact finder, and they're only going to take the contested case hearings that they're going to need a lawyer about. And unless you're going to fire the executive director, you end up with, you know, a whole lot more staff people than are necessary, unless you're going to...
Senator Cohen, if I could respond, Mr. Chair, I assume that if this motion passes, it would go to Ways and Means, in which these issues with respect to the amount or dollar amount or the FTE or whatever is needed, I don't think that's really appropriate for us to address that.
I just want to know what your intention was in the sense of that whole
scheme. It's just as a policy matter, I would assume that this, if this motion passes, it would go down to Ways and Means, and that...
It's a last will or shit.
Well, we can pass it on the floor. That's fine.
We keep discussing this. Nobody's going to do anything unethical because we're finally, everybody's going to understand the ethics laws, and we won't need to spend much money. Well, that's facetious.
Mr. Chairman.
Just to clarify, are you moving the language from House Bill 2337? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. The Ethics Commission's, you said as proposed by the Ethics Commission, right? Is that?
I don't have that bill before me, but the concept that they had proposed, that they wanted their own counsel. In-house counsel,
That bill has in-house counsel, and it has certain duties that counsel would have. Is that the next step?
We hadn't gotten yet to the next step. But this is an amendment to Senate Bill 7 at this point. Oh, it's still conceptual motions. Okay, Senator Hendrickson moves as a conceptual motion that this be an in-house counsel. Further discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fry.
I understand the alternative to that is just to allow the Ethics Commission to retain private counsel.
Yes.
Outside counsel. That's my preference. I mean, I'll vote against the motion because I think the Ethics Commission ought to be able to hire outside counsel, not only because we don't know what the time demands are going to be, and certainly... it'll be a little strange to have part-time in-house counsel, but also it might be that a situation would come up where they might want to contract out with a different lawyer than they did the last time, because maybe some lawyer's got some connection with somebody involved. So I think it gives a little more flexibility and freedom to the commission to be able to contract with any lawyer they want. So that's
and if it's not a controversial case, they'll probably use the attorney general anyway, right?
I don't know how that's going to work now.
Well, this would, you see, if we had the opportunity to hire outside counsel, then they wouldn't have to hire outside counsel if they didn't want to. They could use the AG.
That's this bill here. That's this one, 7.
Mm-hmm. Well, for that reason, I would vote for...
So you're saying you really like the amendment that we've got here better?
Yeah, I think that.
Okay. Okay, is there further discussion? I would tend to agree with Senator Frye myself. Please call a roll on Senator Hendrickson's motion that there be a House
Aye.
Counsel.
Senator Brown?
Aye. I'm sorry. No.
Cohen.
I would go with the...
No.
Frye?
No.
Gardner?
No.
Hamby?
No.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Squire?
No. Motion
no.
fails 6-1.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the A3 amendments of the 22nd.
Okay, we've all got those in front of, before us, and they say that may acquire necessary legal counsel by using services of AG or contract with an attorney in private practice. Senator Frye and I guess, further discussion. Please call the roll.
No, I'm missing that, Margie.
Just a minute. Wait a minute. Margie, your motion failed because there was discussion that people preferred the outside counsel, and your motion failed 6-1. Now, Senator Brown has moved the amendments that say that they could contract out or use the AG at the discretion of the ethics.
Okay, you're not going to consider just the option of contracting out without the AG option.
I think it's the amendments are probably a little bit more politically acceptable and will give them the total discretion as to where to go to get their counsel.
Okay, call the roll on Senator Brown's motion.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Cohen?
No.
Brian?
Aye.
Gardner?
No.
Hamby?
No.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Squire?
Aye. What was the count on that one?
4-3 carried. Motion.
Okay, motion carried.
I just have a parliamentary inquiry. I thought the first motion that passed was for in-house counsel.
No, it was whether or not we would have independent counsel.
Independent.
Now, the next motion needs to be whether that this bill, that these conceptual amendments be put into Senate Bill 7 or the attempt to put them into 10. I'm going to vote against putting them into 10, and I don't know how others are going to
vote. I was just
going
to say the opposite, so there we are. I just think the thing ought to be one package at all.
Well, let's put on the record, we can then vote on it.
But I don't really have any strong feelings on it.
I just don't want the additional weight in 10 of having everybody who feels strongly about the concept of the Thornton, or was it Lee Johnson that started that trend away from people having independent counsel.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Senator
Graham. One other consideration, that would make all of Senate Bill 10 have to go to Ways and Means.
Yes.
And I think
it's
too
important a piece.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it might be a wash, though, because they're having to pay for the AG right now.
You don't understand what I mean.
It's the question of getting it down there at all.
Yeah.
Senator Ripper?
No, well, I wouldn't use, no, it's, but I think it's just, you know.
Well, I think we're responding to a threat of a veto, isn't it?
Well, that's one threat.
The Ways and Means Committee.
So another threat I'm not aware of?
Well, the Ways and Means Committee is another veto possibility, other than the gubernatorial one.
I don't know. I just don't think we should respond to that. I didn't like that veto threat that was made to the task force and that was made to our committee.
Well, let me ask this question. If Senate bill, if these things are sent out in two bills and one of them passes and the other one doesn't, then where are we? We've got an ethics commission with no direction where they're going to get legal help.
Sure.
No,
it's,
sure
it stays the way
it's
it
an existing law. They get their help
stays,
from the attorney
it stays
general.
The way it
stays
is.
The same.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the danger there is that the attorney general, I suppose, could muster his forces and defeat that bill. And then, but the majority of this committee wants to change that, so we're going to lose out on that.
That's right. That's the consideration. But if you trade that off against sending the bill to Ways and Means. And having the Attorney General very actively opposed to the bill, I would, if you want to get into all the trade-offs in that regard, I'll put my thoughts on the record.
You'll put Senate Bill 10 at greater risk by putting it in there. You will certainly put Senate Bill 7 at greater risk by taking it out.
But if people who say they really want an ethics reform package want to say that they're willing to withdraw their whole support, if we don't change that, I...
Then they're going to work for both.
Okay, let's have the motion. The chair moves that these proposed amendments to Senate Bill 7 be made part of Senate Bill 7.
If that motion fails into
7 or 10, what are you talking 7. About?
7.
Which it would mean that this would go forward as an independent bill, okay, with just that provision in it.
Lifespan of a maid's life, right?
No.
Tsetse fly.
A June bug.
Which was that bill? Oh, that was comparable worth that we didn't want to have go to Ways and Means.
It is in Ways and Means. It is in Ways and Means.
No,
after the House got
in place. Okay, is there further discussion? If not, call the roll. This is on a motion to have the concept of independent counsel contracting out our AG as an independent bill, not part of the rest of the package. Please call the roll.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Cohen? Aye.
Fry? No.
Gardner?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Hendrickson?
No.
Wired?
Aye. Motion carried. And I would then move Senate Bill 7 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
To the floor?
Yeah, we talked about
the
duties.
Not to the Ways and Means Committee? Not to Ways and Means?
This has got a referral to Ways and Means Committee.
It's a brand new bill.
Well, counsel's mentioning my motion may be premature because we haven't talked about the duties.
Oh.
It's not
legal counsel.
It's counsel.
Duties were there.
It's got duties in this bill, and they're different from the duties in the House bill.
Strategy on this thing.
We've already moved this, though.
Yeah, we've already moved this. Let's just have this be the duties. And if the House bill moves over here, we can look at that. How would that be?
I thought you were going to have a discussion about what you wanted to do.
Let's just...
You did...
The only thing about, I won't accept my own motion, because, and I'll give the reason why, and that is I don't think we want to send this down to the floor before we send out Senate Bill 10.
Right.
So shall we reserve action on it until we've sent 7, 10 to the floor?
And then at what stage in the proceedings will 7 go to Ways and Means?
Well, we better either decide now to send it to Ways and Means or discuss it with... the Ways and Means people, like Senator Ripper, otherwise they might get up on the floor and move it there.
Yeah. All right, you do that, maybe. President and Senator Ripper, maybe.
That was
where that should go.
Okay. Would that be satisfactory to the rest of the committee for the chair to, while we're awaiting the action on Senate Bill 10 on the floor, which we want to get there before we get this question, for me to check with the President of the Senate and the co-chair of Ways and Means about whether it would be their preference for us to, if they would mind if we go ahead and move this to the floor first, or whether they would be of the opinion that it should go to Ways and Means first. Because we don't want a motion by the co-chair of Ways and Means to send our bill off the floor to Ways and Means, which is something we haven't had yet this session, but I've seen several times in prior sessions. It causes confusion and strain. Is that okay with everyone?
Anything you say, Mr. Chair? There are only three votes. Anything
Mr. Chairman,
you say?
I'm still concerned that we send this out by itself.
Well, if I could even get you to listen, Senator Henderson.
I'm listening. I say whatever the chair wants to do.
Mr. Chairman, I'm still concerned if we send this out all by itself. It's likely to be shot out of the sky.
And we're right back where we started.
I think we've had votes that have dealt with that.
Unless
you've got another motion to make.
Unless we, would there be the votes here to tack it to 10?
We already voted on that.
We tried that and it failed.
I didn't recall we tried that directly.
Right.
We did. Senator Brown now moves that what we did was we moved that this go independently, and I said that the other option was if
I
people would prefer, they would vote no on that,
yeah.
And then we could take a motion to make it part of 10. And now we've made the decision to send it out independently. If I guess we'd need to reconsider the motion whereby we decided that it would go forward independently. If you want to move that. I don't remember which way you voted now.
You voted to have it stand alone.
Well, I thought you voted to have it stand alone.
It's a close question. It's not all that easy.
Well, you were on the prevailing side, so you can reconsider.
I knew that we would consider our vote that we send this out independently. See, we have the votes to reconsider.
Mr. Chairman, to go back to the question, I wonder, this is kind of academic, isn't it, if you're going to have to inquire first on how they... Well, of course, I guess
we'll
put it back.
No, if we change our mind, put it in 10. That would.
So now we're voting on whether to reconsider, is that it?
Reconsider the independence motion, right, which passed with the yours and my vote. Senator Fry and I were discussing this here a few moments ago, and I think it...
Okay. Further discussion.
I'd like to try that.
Further discussion. Senator Brown's question has been called for. Please call the roll on Senator Brown's motion to reconsider the motion whereby we decided we voted to send these amendments out as a separate bill, not part of the Senate Bill 10 package. Please call the roll.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Cohen?
No.
Fry?
Aye.
Gardner?
No.
Hamby?
No.
Hendrickson?
Aye.
Wires?
No.
Failed.
What was the vote?
4-3.
Okay.
How did that work? I don't understand.
It's not reconsidered.
I know, but I mean it's seen it.
Okay, let's take a 10-minute recess, and then we want to take up we want to get the guardianship bill out. And we've got the Public Utility Commission bill. So let's take a 10-minute recess. Session with a subcommittee of Senators Hamby, Fry, and Wires.
Yes, Mr. Chair, if I may ask the subcommittee's consideration of a... let's see, if I recall correctly, we moved the amendments.
Senate Bill
639.
Where are we on that, Council?
Yes.
Yes. -1, amendments.
We have moved the amendments.
We already moved them?
Right. I ask the committee's consideration only to postpone the implementation date to January 1 of 1984.
Where's that date?
you don't have a date, huh? Don't tell me.
What number are we?
639. That's a new provision, I think.
I'm looking for my folder. I'm still back at the threshold of this.
Amendments are 5-5, did you say?
5-3. 5-5.
I don't see an implementation.
Is this what we're working on?
Yeah.
Terry
Rogers.
So I have to amend the relating clause as well, declaring an effective date or something.
Yeah.
For the record, I'm Terry Rogers, legal aid from Portland, representing United Seniors. I think there is no language in the bill discussing an implementation date. I think we would need to draft it. It would be Section 8. I'm looking at page 4 of the bill. And I would propose language to this effect: this act shall be implemented on or before January 1st, 1984.
We'll take it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. The effective date of this
act
shall be, this 1983 act shall be January 1, 1984. Okay. And then we'd have to make an appropriate amendment to the relating clause saying and declaring an effective date.
Yeah.
Okay, Senator Brown, we now have a quorum. We're on Senate Bill 639, and Senator Hamby has moved that we amend the relating clause saying declare to add declaring an effective date And then we'd add at the end of the bill a section 8, which would say the effective date of this 1983 Act shall be January 1, 1984. Is there discussion of that amendment? Senator Hamby, what is the need of that amendment?
The reason being that the reality of the situation is most judges will receive their updated materials and be informed of the Act by January 1 of 1984. And secondly, the Commission on Aging, United Seniors, Association of Retarded Citizens, and the Mental Health Division can all get their volunteer forces geared up and ready to respond.
Okay.
And of course, mm-hmm.
Is there further discussion of Senator Hanby's amendment as to effective date? If not, is there any objection to that motion? If not, it is adopted. Now, we have already moved the hand engrossed amendments dated 5383, Council?
Yes, you have.
We've already adopted them. We adopted those last session. Have you had an opportunity to look through those?
I did. Now? I went over them with Ms. Rogers.
Do you see any problems in them?
The governor could still, through the budget process, have a tremendous effect on the operation. And but that's the question. It just last session, one of the things that got me interested in this was last session we had a roaring debate where a bunch of people thought that the Public Utility Commissioner had reversed his course about 180 degrees on a major decision that had been hotly debated and a rule was being drafted and so on. And there was a lot of indignant allegations that the governor might have directed the Public Utility Commissioner to reverse directions. And I think that showed me that indeed there is a tremendous public misperception of what the Public Utility Commissioner is doing. I agree with you that they are indeed reflecting the governor's direction, philosophy, and approach.
Do you think
that these people were shocked and appalled that the governor might have made a contact with the Public Utility Commissioner which changed directions?
Do you think something like this, if it passed the legislature, would have a realistic chance of getting by a governor's veto?
Well, I don't know, but that question can be asked about so many bills. It seems to me if you think it's a bad idea, you shouldn't be for it, but if you think it is, you ought to. It's certainly a lot less politicized than it's something like an elected PUC. I think it's a good idea myself. I think when the governor appoints somebody, there is a lot of hearings going on over there and a lot of apparent due process going on. And to have a governor be able to reach into that and shift it around in a way that the Public Utility Commissioner doesn't agree with, which would be the only time you'd have any problem with this. There's nothing in this that keeps the Public Utility Commissioner and the governor from meeting every day. It'd just be if the Public Utility Commissioner wanted to say, hey, we've gone through all these procedures and I want to do it this way.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Brown.
This basically gives the governor 90 days in which to appoint or reappoint the commissioner by essentially keeping him on or by appointing a new person after that 90 days. Then he's locked into him except for a removal for cause. And that means that during the balance of the 90-day, the balance of the governor's four-year term, this individual...
The Public Utility Commissioner's four-year term, because it might come up in the middle of the governor's term.
Yeah. Yes. For the balance of the Public Utility Commissioner's term, which I'm afraid now is only really then...
We just reappointed a lot.
One year, 9 months, he could exercise... good level of independence. Excellent idea.
Well, is this something you wanted to move on tonight, or?
Well, I wanted to find out if the committee liked the idea, because we'd have to decide if we were going to leave any of the original bill or not.
after we make that decision.
Well, it's one of those questions where, again, like the earlier question I had where I got something out of the discussion between Margie and Joyce. I'd like to hear some input from Senator Gardner and Senator Cohn on this, because I'm kind of up in the air about it right now.
Well, that's fine. Why don't we reschedule the bill? We have the language now we can look at, and maybe a member or two of the committee want to talk with someone that's interested in the bill, not only about this, but about some of the other provisions. My memory isn't perfect on the other provisions, but it's my recollection that there was a lot of fussing out of the phone companies about some of the provisions, which made it seem to me...
Oh, that thing about their territory. I was just wondering, the people that are proposing those other amendments, could we hear what those are about tonight, or you didn't want to get into those? Or?
I'm willing. Does our next committee start at 7 or 7:30? I think it's 7:30. So I want to get out of here by 7.
It's written down.
I've got 7:30 on my card. I don't know.
We've got written testimony, counsel says. We'll certainly defer the decision on this, though, until we reschedule.
I kind of made, because of my involvement with Ted Kulongoski and so forth, and I made a commitment that I'd be there tonight at his thing.
And that's half an hour into it now.
Yeah.
So
I'd kind of like to leave, if it's all right.
Are the people here from out of town? Maybe we better adjourn then and take this whole thing up later. Is that all right with you, Senator Hendrickson?
That might be all right. It's got to be a long day, so I don't know. Maybe it would be more productive to come back to it.
Okay, what else are we carrying? We've already told the people on the DUI bills we couldn't get to those tonight. So, okay, well, we'll close. Everyone understands that these amendments we're discussing about the Public Utility Commissioner were something I'd worked out.
Is that right?
There's nobody here to testify for them. Okay, we're adjourned.
Thank you.